Just talk among yourselves. Okay, now we're back. Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Well, we've had a wonderful morning so far, and it's just been great to see the things that God is doing just in our baptism and the worship and just all the things happening already. Again, a series, I know most of you didn't hear me, so a series we are in called Psalms for the Family is going to take us to Psalm 42 today. This is going to be a little bit of a different one, but it's called, and I couldn't think of a better title for it, just a psalm for the deep. A psalm for the deep. Psalm 42 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night." Please don't hear these just as even beautifully poetic words. Drink in the reality of this psalm. Some of you would say, that's my reality. Tears are my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, where's your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts of praise. A multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfall. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him, my salvation, my God. Let's pray. This morning, Father, meet us in your word and in this time. I truly pray that people here will not hear the words of a pastor, a man, but that your spirit will speak into the deepest places of our heart, of our souls, our families, our homes, our lives. We give this to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, I parked my car off site and walked over to the church campus this way. Started walking up the stairs of the baptistry and noticed a strange sensation right here. It was not the first time I'd felt it, but it was this time I thought it got my attention. The next week, I went to see my doctor. He's here today. I won't call him out, but he saw me. We talked about possibilities. He checked some things and then referred me on to a cardiologist. Long story short, I had a heart catheterization this past week. I told you last week that was coming, and it did not go as I had hoped. We ended up with discovering there were four arteries almost completely blocked. So, again, I'm very thankful. I haven't dropped with a heart attack yet. I'm hoping to get this dealt with before that happens, but short of a literal miraculous intervention by God, I'm headed to bypass surgery at some point in the very near future. So when I read David's words in this psalm, I'm going, it's pretty much been my week. Pretty much been my week. And I've asked myself numerous times, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. Hope in God. God purchased the rights to my life 45 years ago as I knelt on a floor in the home of my youth pastor of that time and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I gave him the rights to my life on that day. And he gave me his life. There was an exchange. He has the right to write the script of my life. He had it without me giving him permission, but I gave him permission to write the script. And he's done an incredible job of that, I believe, in my lifetime. I can't complain. He's been very, very good to me. You know, sometimes I hear people say, you know, me and God, we got our own arrangement. We got our own thing going, you know. We don't need all this religious hocus pocus and all this, you know, trafficky institutional religion. Let me just tell you something, friend. If that's you listening on the radio today, listening here in this room, listening in Building A, on the line, wherever you are, listen to me. If this arrangement that you and God have does not include the part that says you are not your own, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body, which is the Lord's, then this is not an arrangement that God entered into. This is just your own deal. Good luck with that. Because when you come to Jesus, he gives you everything. But he gets everything from you. Your sin? Yes. Good. Take that out of the way. But everything else in your life, including your right to call your own shots, God does what he wants to do. And if crucifixion is part of the plan that God has for you, for me, and that's the way he wants to deal with this body, which is now his, then he has the right to choose the method. And I have no right to complain. Two words that never belong in the same sentence in a Christian's vocabulary. No, Lord. If he's Lord, yes, Lord. Doesn't mean you have to like it all the time, because you probably won't. But it does mean you say yes. And by the way, I just put that part in there for me. So in Psalm 42, David talks about going into the deep. He mentions in this verse, and it's just a fascinating verse to me in verse 7, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. I've heard songs about that. I've even heard some things said about it in sermons. I've never heard anybody talk about, what does it mean? That deep calls to deep. What is that talking about? Your deep place may be a medical condition. It may be a job loss or a financial crisis. It may be a divorce that you're going through that you don't want. A child's arrest. Any number of things that can be affecting your family. It may be an addiction or a mental illness that's wrecking you or destroying your family. It may be an illness of somebody that you love. David was apparently dealing with depression in this psalm. I think that's very much what he was dealing with. And maybe like David today, you feel cast down or disquieted just deep within you, and you can't settle that feeling. Many things can be the means of drawing you into the deep. where God calls to you out of the deep. In Psalm 139, David wrote, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." When I went off for a season after Pam's death, I went for a time to Blue Ridge, Georgia. Stayed in a friend's cabin on the Toccoa Adventure Trail, which many of you I know have been there. It includes several access points to trails, and including the Appalachian Trail. Trails that just go up into the hills and disappear. Trails that, if you don't leave some breadcrumbs or you're not carrying something with some GPS device on it, you may not come out again. And one day I just walked off the road and just started going. I was following a stream up a hill, just walking. And the hill was running down into the Toccoa River, so I thought, well, I can't get too lost if I follow the stream. But I got to a certain point in an overlook, and there was a waterfall. Beautiful. And somehow the cascading water, the sound of it splashing into the rocks, it just for a little while, it drowned out my grief. And I don't know if that's part of what David is experiencing here. Just a... You have those moments where your jaw drops when you say, God, that's, wow, I get it now. And that was that moment for me. He met me. Don't get too spooky here. He met me in the waterfall. He met me in a deep time in my life. Literally, at a waterfall. It was a very wonderful moment. Sometimes deep calling unto deep means just your deepest need, man's deepest need, is answered by God's deepest resources. And God has a bottomless supply of resources for us. But the deep is also a place, in David's words, where the billows roll over us, where he said, my spirit was dry and thirsty. He felt the enemy taunting him. He felt his hope was threatening to disappear. And I imagine even in this place, David was cut off from the worship of God's people. We can remember all too well how that felt last year in the COVID crisis. He was separated from the throng of those who would go joyfully to the house of God, and he didn't get to praise God with him. He was by himself, maybe in a cave, maybe hiding out in the woods somewhere, but he was alone. The deep, let me just mark this, the deep is a place you don't get to go with others. You go by yourself. You can't draw companions around you to go to that place. There is a deep place in you where only you and God meet. And David talked to himself. This is the other thing I want you to see here. To his own soul in this psalm. Let me just give you permission. You know, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. In fact, one of the reasons we are crazy is because we listen to ourselves too much. In fact, I would probably say you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. How about that? So the next time somebody says, hey, you're mumbling. Yeah, I do that. I'm normal. I'm healthy. I'm good. We shouldn't listen to ourselves too much, to the voices in our heads, nearly as much as we do. Everything that's sifting through your head is not something you should listen to. It's not truth. It's not helpful. It's not healthy. It's not God. Everything that's in your head does not need your attention. There are some things you just need to go, let that one go, let that go, let that go. But there are also times that you just need to turn to your own soul and say, shut up. What are you doing? Why are you going? Why are you chattering on like this? Speak to the truth. Talk to yourself. Tell your soul to straighten up. You've been in a bad place today? You in a bad place today? Really? Are you? Tell yourself to straighten up. Now you said, well, that's easy for you to say. No, it really isn't easy for me to say right now. It really isn't. And I've had to say this to myself quite a few times in the past few days. Let me give you three things to hang on to when you find yourself in the deep. And just follow with me. These are not things that I always talk about, so please bear with me while I'm getting through this. Number one, when deep calls to deep, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Christian today, and everybody in here, you don't do this because you're not, you don't need to, you're not there yet. But if you're a believer today, this is you. I'm crucified with Christ. This is not Paul saying, hey, let me tell you about me. This is Paul telling you about you. I'm crucified with Christ. If you're in Christ, you have been crucified with Christ. That means his death is now your death. We showed that in baptism a moment ago. His burial, your burial. His resurrection is your resurrection. We are to live crucified, dead to the world. I don't mean tired. I mean dead to the world. Because of Jesus and with Jesus, we are to live crucified to our own flesh with Jesus. You're crucified with Christ. But, you know, remember this well. There's nothing you're going through in your time of extremity or suffering that Jesus has not already gone through for you. Do you understand that? Hebrews 12:2 says, calls Jesus the author, the pioneer, and the finisher of our faith. Two words that get used there in Greek. He is the pioneer. We know what that means. We're Americans enough that we get that. We know what a pioneer is, the first one that blazes the trail. But the other Greek word that's used is the word first goer. Christos, he is the first goer. He is the one who went first. Anything you go through, it's not that Jesus rushes in to catch up to you. He goes there ahead of you. That's different. You're not experiencing anything that Jesus has not already experienced for you, before you experience it. He has already endured and overcome every temptation, every difficulty, and every trial that we can experience. He's gone before us. We sang that in the blessing a moment ago. Secondly, when deep calls to deep, remember that the Spirit prays for you. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Getting bad news draws you into the deep place. You find yourself shut in and shut off from everything but God. You and God. You're in the deep. You're in the deep. And sometimes when you're in that place, it's hard to find the words to pray. The doctor, you know, this past week I was preparing myself. I'm steeling myself. I wanted the doctor to say, go home, don't worry about it. Take it easy. That was my first hope. That didn't work out. Secondly, I thought, if I have to, okay, I'm ready. I'll stent. That'll be an acceptable treatment. treatment. I can do that. Medication, that's fine. I'll do it. Okay, God, I'm ready. Let's go. And what I did not expect was at the end of the procedure for the doctor to lean over the table and look at me and say, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to deal with this through open heart surgery. I had nothing in me was prepared to hear that. And it shut me down mentally. I fell into a timeless moment. I thought, no, well, no, not me. No, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. The doctor was very compassionate, but I just stared at him. I couldn't find words to respond. It's like he was speaking a language I didn't understand. But what was really happening was the Holy Spirit was speaking a language I didn't understand. The Bible describes it as unutterable words, words that we can't even manage to mumble. We don't know what they mean. But he prays. The Spirit is praying for us. The whole time I was in that cath lab, the Holy Spirit was praying for me. The Spirit prays for us with words that cannot be uttered. You know, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that we downplay, we love the, you know, we want the excitement and the joy and the jumping and the hollering, and that's all good and fun. But one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to pray for us. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. There's this constant stream of prayer being offered for us. It's wordless. It's not wordless to the Father. It's wordless to us. But last, let me finish. When deep calls to deep, remember the goodness of God. Remember the goodness of God. God won't leave us over our heads. Let me say that again. If you're in the deep, you're over your head. God won't leave you over your head. He will not forsake you in the flood. He will not forget you in your suffering. It is His character that upholds us, not your deserving it, not your worth of it. It is God's character, God's nature. God is good all the time. His grace sustains us. His goodness follows us. There was a little guy coming into the second grade. He was walking to school, one of the first times he walked to school from home, and Mom was freaking out a little bit, but she didn't want to embarrass him and, you know, tag along with him. So she had a friend that was a neighbor, had a young daughter, and she knew that about the time her son was walking to school, this lady was usually out walking with her daughter that early in that morning. She said, and she asked her, she said, "Could I ask you, would you mind following my son to school? Just make sure he gets there okay. I would feel better if I just knew everything's fine, because I don't want to discourage him from going, but I'm a little afraid." And they're like, sure, I can do that. It's no problem. We'll keep an eye on him. So for the next week or so, every day, you know, she followed the little guy to school, and he did fine. And one day, his little buddy was walking with him, and he asked him, he said, so did you see those two people? They were following us every day this week, the lady and the little girl. And he said, yeah, I know him. He said, who are they? He said, that's Shirley Goodness and Mercy. She said, my mom reads about them in the Bible all the time. And she said they'd follow me all the days of my life. So they're out there following me. Listen, Shirley Goodness and Mercy will follow you. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord is always reaching. This is what David said. The steadfast love of the Lord reaches for you. Even when you're in the deep, God is good all the time. Let me answer a question that I've already been asked on the way in here several times, and that is, what are you going to do? Well, I'll find out tomorrow. I hope I'll know something tomorrow at 2 o'clock. My plan, my hope, is that I will make it through a quadruple bypass and do the necessary recovery and be right back here after a few weeks of recovery. That's my hope. That's my plan. That's my intention. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready for this to stop me. But again, we'll see what God allows. My intention, my plan, and I've already told you, I'm not writing a script. If I was, that's the way it would go. So, again, hopefully we'll know something tomorrow, church family. We'll post something for you when we know something as far as the timeline goes. But right now, that's where we are, and that's what I'm hoping. So that said, let me ask you, maybe you're in the deep today, and you just need somebody to pray for you. You're just overwhelmed and over your head. Christians get overwhelmed, get over their heads. We get more questions than answers. And maybe that's exactly where you are today. Maybe you're at a place today where you're in free fall. I hear people say this all the time, I've been here before and I'm sure I'll be here again. I don't know how people survive mentally and emotionally without Jesus in a time like this. I don't know how people do it. Good drugs, a lot of alcohol, I guess, is what gets used often. But folks, you don't want to go into the deep by yourself. You get into the deep and you can stay there and you can survive there because you're not alone. God is with you in that place. Unless you have pushed him away, rejected him. And if you have, today's a good day to say, okay, I made a mistake. That's not a good thing. And you know what? He'll go, that's okay. Come on home. Come on home. He won't turn his back on you. Today, I don't know what you need. I won't pretend to know what you need. But if you need prayer, I know there will be some people down here to meet you here and to pray with you here. If you have a decision to share, they'll be down here to help you walk through that decision. And that's where we'll be right now as we sing together. Let's stand, please. And as we're standing and singing, worshiping together, as the Lord leads you, his Spirit draws you, you come as he leads you now.